This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. The Trump administration ramping up pressure on Russia's President Putin as the U.S. pushes for an end to the war in Ukraine. The president announcing he'll now impose new sanctions on Russia.
These are tremendous sanctions. These are very big. Those are against their two big oil companies, and we hope that they won't be on for long. We hope that the war will be settled.
The U.S. military conducting a new airstrike on an alleged drug cartel boat, this time in the Pacific off Central America. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth confirming that two people on board were killed in the attack. New protests in Lower Manhattan today, 24 hours after a chaotic federal immigration raid targeting street vendors along New York City's famed Canal Street. And in Chicago today, police saying a driver allegedly tried to hit a vehicle driven by ICE agents by going through a red light. Investigators saying that driver instead hit another car and is now in federal custody. Police say no one was hurt. This is ABC News. Arizona's attorney general has filed a lawsuit against House Speaker Mike Johnson over his decision to not swear in Representative-elect Adelita Grijalva after she won her seat in a special election. ABC's Jay O'Brien reports.
She was elected in a special election to replace her late father almost exactly a month ago, but she hasn't been sworn in yet. The speaker had previously said he would swear her in as soon as she wanted, but now he's saying she won't be sworn in until the House returns from recess. And the House is being kept out on recess, the speaker says, until the government reopens. Democrats accuse the speaker of delaying her swearing in because she's the final signature needed on a petition that would force a vote in the House to release the Department of Justice Epstein files. The speaker denies that.
Scientists have discovered an asteroid orbiting the sun around 240,000 miles from Earth. The quasi-moon named 2025 PN7 went undetected by telescopes for decades due to its small size as it orbits the sun near our planet. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Packers prepare for Pittsburgh. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, it's the Packers and the Steelers this week on Sunday Night Football. But head coach Matt LaFleur reminding us they're playing the Steelers, not Aaron Rodgers.
They're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, who happen to have Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's as simple as that. That is for you guys to talk about. We've got a lot of respect and love for Aaron. I mean, what he's done here, he's a Hall of Famer. This game is not about that. It's about going to Pittsburgh, Sunday Night Football. Our guys will be jacked up. It's about the Green Bay Packers versus the Pittsburgh Steelers.
NBA, it's the Bucks against the Wizards tonight in Milwaukee and the debut of Miles Turner and what role he'll play on the Bucks this season.
As a center, you know, as an anchor in the back part of the defense, it's like, what you're supposed to do? The feedback has been phenomenal. It's like, you know, you're right, I don't even realize when I'm doing it. They're saying, yo, we need more of that. You know, it's not something we've had, you know, consistently in the past. Like, we need a voice. We need someone to always, like, step up and speak. So I'm just taking it on.
That's the Bucks' Miles Turner with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, some frosty areas and a low close to 30. Frost advisory issued. For tomorrow, mostly sunny and warmer, a high within a few degrees of 50. And more sunshine Friday, high in the mid-50s. Temps continue to climb into the weekend. Right now, it's 43.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Jason Mansmith from Green Lake's Thrasher Theater makes the popcorn pick of the week. Then Chris Rogowski from Chicken or the Egg Photography makes an in-studio visit. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
They were it. That's the ballgame.
Adrian Klenz is executive director of the Center for Deafblind Persons. Those cuts, those programs would be rolled into something else. Is there a group deafblind children could be folded into?
There is no other program. Those seven individuals have the specialized training to help those with dual sensory loss. There's no one else in the state of Wisconsin that has that training.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy show today.
Deb
Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters Wisconsin joining us after the 9:30 news. There is a new proposal to have a nonpartisan commission draw maps.
That sounds like something that should be done.
What a wacky idea.
Right.
That just says cray-cray. So we'll talk to Deb Cronmiller about this proposal that would bring in nonpartisan people to draw up our voting maps.
I mean, that just sounds almost logical.
There seems to be logic involved with that. Yes, so that's after 9:30. Hour number two, our friend, colleague, host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on weekends here across Civic Media. Dr. Kristen Lierley is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about Dr. Oz. It was either last week or the week before.
Yeah.
Said that America is under-babied. We just don't have enough babies. We need more babies. So we're going to talk to Dr. Lierley about what would actually perhaps encourage families to have more children.
Yes, absolutely.
I believe there's an economic component in there.
Where Dr. Oz, who is, once again, for whatever you think about him, he is a doctor, says we are under-babied.
It's not a word, but
Dr. Lierley can put the real problem into perspective with, once again, nuanced, logical, and medical and professional language.
Factual things.
I actually would say, under-babied. Translate that, Dr. Lierley. What does that mean for the layman? I'm not a doctor, so I don't know.
You don't speak that medical, medical terminology like that. Speaking of medical terminology, there is another measure that has been proposed. Here in Wisconsin, they want to change the definition of abortion, essentially.
Shocking.
This has to do with women who have problems in their pregnancy at some point in their pregnancy, and they may need to terminate the pregnancy.
Yeah, of course.
So there is a new measure out. They want to change words because they don't want the word abortion used, even though the medical definition of, say, a spontaneous miscarriage is abortion.
It's spontaneous abortion.
It's a spontaneous abortion. That is the medical definition.
You can't get away from it.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So Dr. Lierley will be joining us to talk about that in hour number two. Also, last half an hour of the show, we will lighten it up, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Audio sorbet. Audio sorbet. We're going to be talking about Movies.
Movies, yes. So we're going to be talking about... So Calvin, I'll give you a brief overview. Calvin brought up a movie that is being made off of a popular board, very popular board. I would say one of the most popular, actually. And it's just that idea of, why do they make movies about certain things? So what is a movie that they made where you said, why did they do this? Who asked for this? And more importantly, when it bombs, you sit there and go, I don't know why you even did it in the first place.
Yeah, what, this movie should never have been made.
I have so many examples.
Is our audio sorbet coming up around 10:30. And then we'll end the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Yeah. Bear with me now.
Yep.
That is the addition. Coming up at the very end of the show.
And if you have any movies that you want to suggest and you can't stick around for the show, you can always send it to us via text. You can email it in, janesays@civicmedia.us. Throw it in the text line right now. We'll read it later. But yeah, we want to know your thoughts. Even if you can't be around, tell us.
Yeah, let us know now. 855-752-4842. Wanted to start off with talking about the government shutdown. We're in what, day 20, 21?
Day 21.
Day 21. And the big sticking point is the Democrats say the Republicans need to fund...
Day 22.
They need to fund the subsidies for the Affordable Care Act.
Correct.
If they do not fund these subsidies, people's monthlies are going to skyrocket.
Yes. If you want
your premiums are going to jump.
Yes. If you want any proof about that, go back to our discussion last week with Will Westmoreland. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri, and he talks about not only him being on it, but farmers are the biggest user of the ACA in the country. And he talks about what his premium is going to look like if these subsidies, on top of another subsidy that's not going to be renewed either, gets cut. That subsidy, it's like a 28% subsidy for farmers specifically.
Right.
Once all that's done, it's going to be like a 60 to 70% increase for him. And if you go back and listen, civicmedia.us/shows, it's very clear.
It's a great conversation.
This is something that is needed.
Yes.
Period.
Yes, it is. And the Republicans say, of course, no, just sign off on this deal.
Yeah.
Sign off on this measure, and then we'll talk about it later.
We'll get to it.
In 2 weeks.
I have a things to do list, Jane.
We'll get around to it. Yeah. It's not important.
Yeah.
You know, we got a ballroom to build.
Can I give more money to Argentina?
The East Wing to destroy. Ron Johnson, Wisconsin senior senator, appearing on some cable channel, because that's what he does now. He's certainly never here. He has an opinion about people seeing their premiums jump. Rojo says, you don't have to worry about that. Calvin, play that clip from Ron Johnson, please.
You know, let's bring free market competition back into the healthcare.
We'll get to that one.
This is going to be any kind of gut-wrenching problem if these enhanced subsidies just go away. We'll probably have to weather the lies told by the Democrats. But again, we're happy to work with Democrats and fix the broken Obamacare.
Play it again, Calvin, please.
I don't think this is going to be any kind of gut-wrenching problem if these enhanced subsidies just go away.
Not a problem. That's all we need. It's just not a... So your premiums double, triple, meh. Ron's only worth, what, $66 million?
Oh, I think that's a low ball.
Is that low
ball? I'm going to look it up here. But that's just, once again, we hear this all the time, these rich, powerful people talking about how things just aren't a big deal. Because, yeah, to Ron Johnson, a $2,000 a month payment for his health insurance, if he had to do it on his own, he could afford that. That's not a problem for him.
Sure.
But your lack of a problem doesn't translate to everybody. There's a lot of people where their premiums are going to be, okay, well, now I can't pay for groceries. I can't pay for rent. I can't pay for I could never pay for daycare because daycare is too expensive.
Well, and what I think they're going to do, what folks are going to have to do, is they're going to have to make a choice about what they're going to spend their money on.
Yes.
And most likely, they're going to opt for rent and food.
Yes. Yes.
Over paying a massive hike in their premiums.
And
the ACA, by the way, is not perfect by a long shot.
It's not. It was a compromise because, and I'm not going to get into this very deeply, but in a time when so much more could have been done when they were trying to pass health care, everyone got scared of their own shadows. But we have what we have, and it's helped millions of people. And if you are one of those people on the ACA, we've talked to you before about this. Tell us again, when you think about the premiums going up, what are the choices you're going to have to make?
And what is that
going
to mean for you?
What is that going to mean for you, for your family, for your living situation? I mean, we want to know, because Ron Johnson said it's not a big deal.
Not a gut punch.
No, it's not a gut punch. Just, you know, just don't.
Another couple $100 a month. Hey,
if you just go get a third job, maybe you'll be okay. But that's on you. You be a good American. Don't see roadblocks. See the path forward.
Well, and Ron has kind of a great answer.
Oh, what's that?
For how to fix our healthcare problems.
Hit me with it.
Let's play that second clip from Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson, please.
You know, let's bring free market competition back into the healthcare industry. Let's bring back way more consumer choice. You know, Rick Scott, an expert in healthcare, right? He's working with people like myself, leadership, the White House. But, you know, let's design the Republican plan. You know, we completely blew it.
Did you say Rick Scott?
All right. Let's just go ahead here, and I'm going to type in. There we go. Perfect. Rick Scott.
Rick Scott, by the way, in case you missed this, before he became a U.S. senator, Rick Scott was running a hospital in Florida, a federal Medicare and Medicaid fraud investigation that resulted in a $1.7 billion fine against the healthcare company that Rick Scott was running.
Yeah.
Almost, that is the biggest fine in history for that kind of group.
And he didn't go to jail.
He didn't.
And he, in fact, if anything, he did the most American thing for rich people. He stepped down. They paid the fine. He became governor of Florida, and now he's senator in Florida.
Oh, he got a big payout on the way out.
Oh, he got a big payout too. So, yeah, Rick Scott might not be the best choice. It's definitely the best choice in the Trump administration. He ticks all of the boxes to run something. But also, let's just address a fallacy in Mr. Johnson's statement here. By the way, can we stop calling him the senior senator? Because it feels like that's a respect I don't want to give him. Can we just call him the senator who's been around longer,
sure,
Ron Johnson? Cool. Thank you.
I have a problem with that.
The ACA has done almost nothing to threaten the free market of medical insurance. The ACA is not medical insurance. It is simply access to other companies that sell medical insurance. Those companies are free and flourishing. Those companies are free to not be a part of the ACA, as they have done. Doctors don't have to be a part of the ACA. The ACA does not strangle free market competition at all. So if anything, you're telling us you want more insurance companies? Is this like yesterday when we're talking about beef production? Rollins says we need more cattle ranchers. We need more beef producers. So we need more insurance. ACA does nothing to harm free market medical insurance access, period. It just narrows the scope. And also, the government helps people afford it a little bit.
Is that their job?
No!
In 2014, back to Rick Scott, when he was running this company in Florida that fined almost $1 billion. In 2014, the whistleblower who helped the federal government investigate Columbia described a company that ran two sets of books. And he said he had, quote, no doubt in my mind that Rick Scott was the leader of a criminal enterprise, unquote.
Yeah.
Huh. Again, he resigned under pressure.
Yeah.
He cited the incrimination. I don't have to test. I don't have to answer because I might incriminate myself.
Fifth Amendment.
Yeah. He claimed that like over 100 times during the trial about this. And then again, he walked away with a huge payout. Huge payout. Even though this fraud that was perpetrated hurt actual people.
Yes.
And it hurt taxpayers. It hurt seniors.
And that's just another point of this whole argument about waste, fraud, and abuse. When we talk about the fraud of Medicaid and Medicare, there are individuals who can do it. That's absolutely true. People can fraud the system as individuals. But the lion's share, the biggest money is always coming from these companies,
yes,
who are defrauding the country out of billions of dollars,
yes,
thus putting people in harm's way. So again, we're not focusing our attention correctly. And putting Rick Scott in charge of anything having to do with health insurance is completely on brand of stupid for Ron Johnson to say, but he always thinks everything is fine. And if you're poor, it doesn't matter if you're poor, you'll be fine because he's not poor. So it's fine.
Everything is good.
Everything is good, everybody.
Everything's good in Rose Joe's world. So it should all be good in ours. When we return, we're going to talk about SNAP benefits. How long are they going to last?
Here in Wisconsin, not long.
Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Matt Nair on Air.
He is the executive director of Back 40 Action. Will Westmoreland is here. So, Will, we can't sell our soybeans. There's no market for that. But Brooke Rollins, Secretary of Agriculture, says it's all great. What are you hearing from fellow farmers?
Well, Jane, we are the world's leader in one department of agriculture now that Donald Trump is president and Brooke Rollins is Secretary of Agriculture, and that's word salad.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the board lord, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Right before we went to the break, we were talking about the government shutdown. Now in day 22, Republicans refusing to negotiate. They say there's nothing to negotiate. Mm-hmm. Everything is good. Mike Johnson this morning talking about how much they're saving people in their premiums and improving access to health care. I'm not sure what planet he's on. We played a clip from Wisconsin's own Ron Johnson.
Yeah.
Saying this, you know, so people's premiums for the ACA going to jump. That's no gut punch. It's
It's
going to be fine. Greg suggested that we not call him our senior senator anymore.
No. I feel like that denotes a level of respect I should give him, and I don't want to give him that because he says things like this.
Christopher from Beaver Dam, listening on WISS, has a suggestion.
Yeah.
He said, you keep saying senior senator, try senile senator.
That's good. I don't even want to call him. I mean, I get that. I like it. It's good wordplay. But calling
nice alliteration.
Yes, very much so. Calling him senile, though, almost seems like an excuse because, like, when your grandparent gets up there in age, you're like, they're just saying some things. This is a senator in the U.S. government who is lying consistently.
Yeah.
But we'll put that on the list.
He's not senile.
He's not senile, but I thank Christopher for the suggestion.
Yeah, Christopher, you're onto something.
Yes.
You're onto something. Yeah. By the way, I do think that there are cracks starting to show. 11 House Republicans signed onto a letter yesterday calling for Speaker Johnson to make a deal on the subsidies for the ACA, saying their districts are going to suffer without them. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And there are Republicans who realize that a lot of their constituents use the Affordable Care Act, including farmers.
A lot of farmers. And I'm going to put that article in the show notes. And when you read that article, I want you to think about what they're discussing. They are discussing in closed door meetings the viability and the acceptance and how it will make them look as far as doing the things they're doing. And if I'm in the room, I would just say, why not then just fund the ACA? Just do it. It's a win. You've given the billionaires so much.
No kidding. Give us some crumbs.
To give the people the crumbs that you can't see will mean so much to them. And I'm talking about, like, from a political strategy standpoint.
Absolutely.
You want to be able to go back to your district and say, we saved the ACA.
Look what I did for you.
You might not like Obamacare. That's fine. But we saved it for the people who use, including our farmers. Instead, they're strategizing in a room and losing the battle, a battle they knew they were going to lose. They knew this was going to happen.
But it's interesting because I've noticed how the algorithms are changing on my Twitter feed.
Yeah.
And yesterday, there's two things you can have. You can have the people you follow, and then there's the for you.
Yeah.
And my timeline was full of nothing but Republicans calling it the Schumer shutdown and the Democratic shutdown and all that stuff. So they're pushing that narrative really hard.
But if you also look at the history of the modern history of shutdowns from back to just even Barack Obama, the Republicans always get kicked in the teeth on this because they're usually the ones in charge when it happens, whether they've controlled the presidency or just the Senate and the Congress. When they're in charge and it shuts down, they always, I mean, right now, this whole Schumer shutdown, it's sort of the thing where you're like, are you okay? The Schumer, you realize he's not the guy. He can't do anything. You're in charge.
There is a soundbite of our current president of the United States.
Oh, yes, there is.
From a number of years ago, talking about whose responsibility it is.
From 2013.
In the case of a government shutdown.
Yeah.
And you know what he said?
What did he say?
He said it's the president's fault.
And he should be fired.
He should.
He should be fired. And this is, and if we're going by that measure, I mean, this is the first, third shutdown under Donald Trump in both of his terms. Mm. Third one. And we're not even a year in.
No.
And we're marching towards the longest shutdown in U.S. history, which was held by, wait for it, Donald Trump.
That's right.
So, again, MAGA supporters, tell me how this makes sense. Tell me how this helps us win. Tell me how this is 12D chess that I just don't understand when he's destroying the White House, giving money away to Argentina, and our current Congress is doing nothing to open the government up, fund the people who need health care, and just sit there and say, well, it's not my fault.
Well, and this whole excuse that Mike Johnson has about, well, of course I sent the House members home. There's nothing that we can do. The government is shut down. Senators are meeting.
Yeah.
The Senate is still in session.
Tommy Baldwin's in the office.
In Washington. Yeah. There is plenty that they could do.
Yes.
And the whole thing about not seating this newly elected Democrat from Arizona, we'll do that, after the shutdown.
Yeah.
And these are all excuses to prevent the release of the Epstein files. That is absolutely what that's about.
Because she could have been sworn in before the shutdown because she was elected before the shutdown happened.
Well, and Johnson has said, well, why aren't you working with your constituents? She doesn't have an office. She doesn't have a budget.
Did you see the video?
She doesn't have any of the things because she hasn't been sworn in yet.
She doesn't have a government email. There's a great video of her in her office. Here's a pile of laptops. Can't sign in. Here's a computer. Don't have an email. Can't make calls because I don't have the ability to do the things. Yeah. I mean, and every excuse he's given has been countered by the media with, well, that's not true at all. And here's an example of you doing the thing you say you can't do. Mike Johnson, I mean, are you the Speaker of the House or are you just the defender of the king? I mean, there it is.
That.
You're not speaking in the House of the people. You are just defending the guy in charge.
Yeah, it's the second.
There
thing.
It is.
We have news coming up next. And then when we return, Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters Wisconsin will be joining us. There is a suggestion on having nonpartisans draw maps.
Craziness.
What a nutty idea.
What does Ron Johnson think?
That's all on the way. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.7 WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. The Trump administration ramping up pressure on Russia's President Putin as the U.S. pushes for an end to the war in Ukraine. The president announcing he'll now impose new sanctions on Russia.
These are tremendous sanctions. These are very big. Those are against their two big oil companies. And we hope that they won't be on for long. We hope that the war will be settled.
The U.S. military conducting a new airstrike on an alleged drug cartel boat, this time in the Pacific off Central America. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth confirming that two people on board were killed in the attack. New protests in Lower Manhattan today, 24 hours after a chaotic federal immigration raid targeting street vendors along New York City's famed Canal Street. And in Chicago today, police saying a driver allegedly tried to hit a vehicle driven by ICE agents by going through a red light. Investigators saying that driver instead hit another car and is now in federal custody. Police say no one was hurt. This is ABC News.
The Bucks win the season opener. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks beat the Washington Wizards at Fiserv Forum, 133-120. Giannis led the scoring with 37 points, the most ever in his career in a season debut. An injury, though, at the end of the first quarter when guard Kevin Porter Jr. stepped on the foot of teammate Bobby Portis and went down injuring his left ankle. He did not return, head coach Doc Rivers.
No, it didn't look good. I'll just say that, you know, so he's going to do an MRI tomorrow. We just got to hope for the best. But looking at it, it was a pretty bad sprain.
So how did Portis look at the start of the game?
Defensive pressure, a couple steals, deflections, and then just his half-court defense, him and our whole group, led to us a ton of runouts. So I don't know. It might have been the most advanced passes we've had.
The Wizards' Chris Middleton getting a standing ovation from the Bucks fans with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Captain Olivia Benson of the NYPD's SVU, also known as Mariska Hargitay, really had her sights set on comedy early in her career. During a recent appearance on Amy Poehler's podcast, Hargitay said she screen tested several times for Friends, specifically the role of Monica. She was on Seinfeld and The Single Guy as well and thought that sitcoms were her destiny until a psychic told her doing comedy would never make her famous. 6 months later, she got the role of Benson on the Dick Wolf series. The show has been on now for 26 seasons. Anybody know the number of a good psychic? Actress Elizabeth Olsen says she will no longer act in studio-financed films unless they get a theatrical release. The veteran of many indie films says she is fine acting in films that have no distribution, but says being a part of a big production just to go to streaming does not excite her. The Godzilla actress emphasized that the theater-going experience is very important and much like a sporting event in that it brings people together. Testify. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.7 WRCE.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, some frosty areas and a low close to 30. Frost advisory issued. For tomorrow, mostly sunny and warmer, a high within a few degrees of 50. And more sunshine Friday, high in the mid-50s. Temps continue to climb into the weekend. Right now, it's 43.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. The midterm elections might be a year away, but there is a sleeper issue out there that may be the key to Democrats winning. We'll discuss it next time. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to be joined by our next guest, the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, Deb Cronmiller, is here. Good morning, Deb. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let's talk about, there is a proposal for an independent commission to draw maps in Wisconsin. What a crazy whacked out idea, Deb.
It's a great idea, and we've been working really hard for over 2 years to put this proposal together.
Well, let's hear more about this.
Okay. Well, there's an ad hoc working group of the League of Women Voters, and it contains many of our advocates who've been in the Fair Maps space for years and years and years. And the idea, after we had Fair Maps signed by the governor in February of 2024, we pivoted. You know, these are good for now, but we knew that coming in 2030, another census cycle would begin. And if nothing changed between now and 2030, whoever had power in the legislature would be drawing maps again.
Right.
And we know whoever has power in the legislature is going to draw maps that favor them. So we pivoted to, let's figure out how do we get a fair map drawing process in Wisconsin that is independent of that political influence. And so we researched, we talked to folks in all the states that have independent redistricting commissions. We talked to all the think tanks that do the research on this. And we put together a proposed piece of legislation that gives Wisconsin what it needs to create an independent redistricting commission. So it is not somebody else's model. It's not like Michigan. It's not like California. For years we've been talking about, we need something more like Iowa. Well, Iowa is still a partisan process, and we don't need that.
Right.
We needed something that was cleanly independent. And so last Thursday, actually at the Capitol, we held a little rally. And I always love to be at the Capitol rallying, but the purpose of the rally was to announce to the legislature that we have finished our proposed draft and that we are going to deliver it to all of you. And we did just that. And every legislator now has a copy of our proposal. The LRB now has a copy of our proposal, and hopefully it will, without many changes, it will become a bill, and then we can really start moving it along.
Can you tell us, Deb, what states do already have independent redistricting commissions? I'm curious.
Yeah, Michigan, Colorado, Arizona, and California. And there are others that have hybrids, if you will, where the legislatures and the and independent committees work on things. But those are the ones that have truly independent commissions that have the authority to enact the maps that they draw. That is the second phase of our initiative, because in Wisconsin, our constitution actually gives the legislature the power to enact our district maps. And so this is a two-phase project. One is to get the legislation right now that will give us an independent commission that will be in place for 2030. And then secondly, we will work on amending the constitution to give this commission the power to enact the maps.
We're talking about a proposal to form an independent commission to draw up fair maps in Wisconsin. Our guest here on Matt and Air on Air is Deb Cronmiller. She's the executive director of the League of Women Voters. In those states that you referenced, Deb, that already have this type of independent commission, have there been a lot of screeches that this is wrong and this, you know, we're being robbed? And it seems like it's working pretty well for those states that already have this in place.
It is. In Michigan, the state that most recently has enacted a commission, in their first cycle of map drawing, they had some, what I'll call, little glitches. All have been repaired. And that's what's so wonderful about having all these experts at our access. You know, you can see what potholes there might be and how we can get them filled. And they're really, you know, we worked with folks at the at Brennan Center and Pew and different organizations. And what we learned was that there's not a cookie cutter for how to do this, because every state is different.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're suggesting a commission with 15 active commissioners and 3 reserve commissioners in case somebody would drop off. We're also suggesting that the commissioners would be in place for the whole 10 years between the census cycles. And so what's happening, for instance, in California, where they're taking a question to the people to whether or not they should enact a new commission to redraw maps at this moment and this time, we're going to make that impossible. So it would be the same commission, the same people. So there'd be no motivation to draw a different set of maps. Mm-hmm. They've already presented the best set of maps for Wisconsin and gotten those enacted. So we tried very hard to be critical thinkers about what could happen,
sure.
what could potentially, you know, be a glitch. And in our, in this 18 page proposed legislation, there's a lot of detail. And we talk about how the commission will be administered by the state at the Department of Administration, that it will get a budget, that it will avail themselves of experts, not only in map drawing software and testing software, but what we want at the end of the day are maps that have been contributed to by communities across the state. You know, when we had the People's Maps Commission before the, you know, during the time when the Clark case was going, that commission was unpaid, did not have the experts it actually needed, came up with a pretty darn good map, actually, but it could have been better. And we know that. And so we didn't want to just repeat a process that had some stumbling blocks right. in it, and really be thoughtful about how to bring together, you know, 15 people and 3 reserve commissioners to ensure that the maps represent the communities across the state, that they would keep together communities that need to stay together, communities of interest, and that they would, you know, meet all the constitutional requirements of what our district maps need to be.
What a wacky idea to actually look down the road at potential problems and potential stumbling blocks and, you know, like consequences of that's just so crazy.
With the Clark case, we saw that the, you know, because the maps, you know, were not contiguous, they were declared unconstitutional.
Yep. Yep.
So we need to make sure that every single constitutional requirement, plus, you know, we want to undo what happened in 2011 when our map process got flipped upside down.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, for decades, municipalities, wards, districts, you know, precincts, you know, they worked first, and then the larger cities, then the counties, and then the state. And that process is sensical because that makes sure that the locality who is, you know, where the people are, yep, that are going to vote,
yep,
they're represented. Their voices are being held together. When the state flipped it on its head, that the state was going to draw its, as we know, very gerrymandered maps, and you municipalities, you just have to conform now. You have to figure out, mm-hmm, your districts that will work in our map drawing process. And we want to flip that back because it really is sensical that at the smallest unit of government is where we would start, because the voices of the people are at the smallest unit of government, not at the state level.
I worked for the mayor of Racine back in 2009 into the redistricting, and our city administrator was in charge of giving his input, feedback. And I remember him saying to me one day, he goes, it doesn't matter what I say. They're not going to do this at all, because he knew, they knew already, because they were talking about it, that these maps were going to be gerrymandered into something that is almost comically bad. But it was really, really affected people's lives. A question I have for you, Deb, is, this has really come out of the wake of the Fair Maps fight that happened here in Wisconsin. But I mean, the story of it all. But how long have people been talking about getting an independent commission in Wisconsin? Is it something that did come out of the fight, or has there been conversations even before that, you know, 5-10 years ago, or even going back further, and just wasn't a thing that seemed feasible, especially in that 10-12 year process where it just seemed like the maps were going to be like this forever?
I think there have probably been discussions for 50 plus years. Mm-hmm. You know, going back to 1971, that was the last time that our legislature and our governor actually agreed on maps. All the other maps have been decided in the courts because they couldn't come to a consensus. There was so much partisanship, so much political, you know, headbutting. And so I think there have been conversations. We have had legislation introduced that would give us different models for a number of cycles. Mm-hmm. No floor hearings,
right.
No real consideration of it. At our rally, Jeff Smith, who's been in this fight for a long time, you know, he indicated that, you know, it's really hard to move the needle when you have such political opposition to doing what's right for, mm-hmm, the people. And, you know, we are going to try to the best of our ability to make sure that this isn't a political sided argument. You know, when we hit the floor with this discussion, this public hearing, there will be strong Republicans and strong Democrats who are supporting this legislation for the good of Wisconsin.
And I think it's really important, Deb, that when we very first started our discussion this morning, you pointed out that both Democrats and Republicans do naughty gerrymandering. It's not just one side. Both sides have done this naughty, naughty. I'm just saying.
In Wisconsin, you know, we've had the Republican gerrymander, but if just look to our south border, Illinois is one of the most extreme Democratic gerrymanders in this nation.
And we don't want that either.
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
We want fair.
Yeah.
You need fair maps.
And when we have fair maps, the very topics that and policy that people want will actually come through the legislature. You know, we've been waiting for years, for decades, for, you know, background checks, for energy policies, you know, for public health, you know, yeah, that
so many
really
things.
Meets the needs. And we're not getting those things. So now's the time. We need fair maps.
We're to continue our conversation with Deb Cronmiller, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the globe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
as Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On the football field, the skilled players get paid the most. The same is true in construction. Some of the most skilled players building our roads, solar farms, and stadiums are the men and women of the Wisconsin Operating Engineers. If you're ready to step up to a job where you can earn more without college debt and operate equipment like cranes, excavators, bulldozers, and drones, you're ready to join our team today at join139.com.
For over 100 years, David Catt has served the hardworking men and women that improve the quality of life in our community. As your local Catt dealer, David Catt provides new and used heavy and compact equipment, power systems, rental, parts, and full service support to those of you getting the job done. You make essential progress possible, and David Catt is honored to support the work you do every day. Visit FabicCatt.com or call your local David Catt store for more information. David Catt is proud to sponsor Badgerland.
If you've ever found yourself driving down a quiet back road and thought, this feels special, you might be on one of our estate's rustic roads.
The program was created by the legislature back in 1973. It's really a unique local-state partnership.
Officials wanted people by car, bike, motorcycle, or even on foot to enjoy the natural beauty. The first rustic road designated in Taylor County 50 years ago this month.
There's 124 roads that have been designated rustic roads in Wisconsin in 62 different counties, and it spans over 784 miles.
Each rustic road is unique, rolling past farmland through forest or covering rugged terrain. And the speed limit tops out at 45 miles an hour, sometimes even slower. It's not about getting anywhere fast. This slice of Wisconsin reveals sometimes the best part of the journey is the road itself. I'm Terry Baugh.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin heads west to take on the Oregon Ducks. Our coverage begins at 4.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
We'll be pressured and sacked.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, just a reminder to subscribe to our new daily email newsletter. Civic Media Today has great content from all over the state. There's little snippets from all of the shows. Yeah. So if you missed something, it gives you a little taste, and then you can go look for more. Yep. It's super easy. Just sign up at civicmediatoday.substack.com.
Very simple. And we're, as I said, we're talking to Deb Cromiller from the League of Women Voters, Wisconsin. And one of the things you also wanted to talk to us today was about Unite and Rise 8.5, a campaign to defend democracy. Do you want to talk more about that and what you seek to do in this event?
Sure. Back in April, the National League of Women Voters actually declared that we are in a constitutional crisis. Mm. We have three branches of government that are all failing the people of the United States. And the response of the league was to create a campaign that would help mobilize 8.5 million people. And that number is significant because that represents 3.5% of the electorate.
Yep.
And what we've learned from think tanks like Pew and, you know, different organizational think tanks, that when you can get 3.5% of the population, the electorate, behind something, you will move the needle. And we are behind getting a government that works for the people, mm-hmm. not an authoritarian regime. We want a judiciary that actually makes decisions based on law and constitution. We need a legislature that holds, or Congress that holds, both the executive branch and the judiciary accountable to the constitutional oath that every one of those folks have taken.
They took it to the Constitution, by the way. Their oath is to the Constitution, not the president.
And also the whole the whole design of the Constitution in this country was based on a really good idea, checks and balances. We really knocked it out of the park, checks and balances, for a long time. And in 9 months, in 9-10 months, we have reversed it into a place where we are on the same par with some other countries out there. But how do people become involved in this, Unite and Rise 8.5?
Correct. Well, there's lots of ways.
Yeah.
You know, we were sponsor of the No Kings rally. Mm-hmm. So you can go march, and 8 million people did across the United States. You know, we have commitment forms that just indicate, and individuals saying out loud that I am going to participate in this resistance. I am not going to be silent. And that's something you can do. You can do simple things. Yeah. You can write a letter to the editor and voice your opposition to what might be happening in your community, your state, in the nation. You can call your legislators and say, do your job.
Yeah.
We think you can even reach out, you know, via letter to judges across the nation, asking them to do the same. We're in a critical time, Greg, as you just mentioned, and we have to do something. We can't just watch it happen to us. We have to resist it actively.
And I think, unfortunately, there is, at least for the side that wants to see authoritarianism in this country, there is the hope that people are just going to get exhausted and they're going to give up. That is kind of the goal, is to just keep up the pressure and keep wearing people down. And they're just going to eventually go, I can't take it anymore. Yeah. I'm not going to do anything. There's nothing we can do. There are things that we can do. Don't let anybody tell you the otherwise.
And I think the momentum to do something is going in the right direction. You know, the first No Kings rallies were well populated across the nation, but this last weekend, we surpassed that in droves. So more people are watching, they're engaging. And there are, of course, some people who just don't feel comfortable in those settings for a lot of good reasons.
Sure.
And but we've got to give them something else to do that's meaningful and important. And on our website at the State League, we have a toolkit, if you will, that has ways that you can participate that are more behind the scenes, mm-hmm. Subtle, but it will have impact. And then there are ways, you know, if you write a letter to the editor, you're putting your name in front of your whole community.
Right.
Some people are comfortable doing that. Some people are not.
Sure.
And we recognize that. And there's got to be ways for every person to be able to contribute.
We will include links in our show notes to the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. And again, you've got a great toolkit there.
Oh, yeah.
Again, and I think you make a good point, Deb. Not everybody wants to get out there. Not everybody wants to have their face out there. There are lots of things you can do behind the scenes and still get your voice heard and still be part of this very important process.
Going to myvote.wi.gov. You can put in your information and it'll give you all of your representatives from the president down to the dog catcher. And you can write them a letter, give them a call, visit them, be respectful, but tell them what you expect from your leaders. If it's a leader who you like, tell them they're doing a good job. They need to hear that too. But if it's someone that needs to do their job, tell them. Myvote.wi.gov.
And check out the league. I'm sorry, go ahead, Tim.
Oh, I was just going to say, also, when you're on MyVote, make sure you're registered.
Yes.
Check your status.
Mm-hmm.
The WEC does four-year maintenance. They do things. You know, it's not a sure thing. Check it.
Yeah, make
and
sure.
And then you can also track ballots. You can request ballots. There's, a lot of people sat out in November of 2024. We may need to make sure that no one sits out going forward.
Deb Cronmiller is the executive director of the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. Always appreciate your time, Deb. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Stay tuned. We have news coming up next. And then when we return, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be joining us. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. War Secretary Pete Hegseth says another boat has been struck by the military, the second vessel to be hit in the Eastern Pacific in 2 days. Hegseth alleged the vessel was transporting narcotics and said three men were killed in the strike. He released video of the attack, which he said took place in international waters. Meanwhile, Colombian President Gustavo Petro said one boat targeted in the Caribbean last month was a fishing vessel that got lost.
Petro, writing, U.S. government officials have committed murder and violated our sovereignty in territorial waters. The Colombian boat was adrift and had its distress signal up due to an engine failure.
ABC's Mary Bruce. Secretary of State Marco Rubio departed for the Middle East tonight to discuss the next stages of the Gaza ceasefire. The White House is getting smaller before it gets much bigger. Sources tell ABC News President Trump aims to tear down the entire east wing of the White House by this weekend to make way for his new ballroom.